Joe Courtney, we recently had a complaint here at the radio station that we were interviewing office holders, and couldn't you find an office holder who is not for Hillary? But it is astounding, isn't it, when you think about it, how many of the sitting people in Congress, in the Senate, I saw Chuck Schumer with Hillary the other day, are for Hillary Clinton and not for Bernie Sanders. Why is that?
Again, I can't really speak for everybody else. In my own instance, if you look at my voting record, in many respects, I kind of align a little bit more with Bernie's track record on trade. I've never voted in support of a trade deal since I've been to Congress, and I think a lot of the criticisms that he has articulated about, you know, particularly for, manufacturing, this has been a lose-lose situation. And I give him credit for the fact that he's been a strong voice in terms of trying to change that. I did vote against the bank bailout as well because, again, I don't think the bill was balanced in terms of forcing the banks to have to take a haircut on some of these, horrendous loans that they wrote. So, you know, a lot of his critique of, what's been going on for the middle class in the country, I not only agree with, but I've actually voted with him in that respect. And I do think that if you look at the impact of his candidacy, I think it's been a beneficial one in terms of Secretary Clinton's position on TPP. And I think, although I also do think that she was somebody who did support Dodd-Frank very strongly, she's been, I think, at debates in a position where she has to kind of be more explicit and forthright in terms of her position on that. So that's all good. At the end of the day, I think Hillary's battle-tested. I think she, has an incredibly impressive, list of accomplishments as Secretary of State, the New START Treaty, which reduced the number of nuclear warheads in the U.S. and Russia, Iran sanctions, which I think created the environment so that we could, get nuclear material out of Iran. And that's tough stuff. And helped the process in Congress in the aftermath of both of those incredibly historic achievements as far as getting New START ratified and helping make the case for Congress not to block the Iran deal. That's where I think a lot of us who are very frustrated with the polarization and the gridlock and the need to, have, the blocking and tackling in the executive branch to get an agenda through is why I think she's appealing to me, certainly, and I think to a lot of my colleagues. At the end of the day, Washington is not a debate club. We need to really act, and we need to, have people who, understand that they're going to, take the hits and still be there standing and also ready to move forward. So that's, in a nutshell, where I'm coming from. And I think, a lot of folks that are my colleagues that are supporting her, they're in general terms that they probably view this in the same way.
I think a lot of people have this debate in their minds. Bernie, they think, because they're Democrats and, has it right. Hillary, they have issues with because of, taking the money for the speeches, not releasing what was in those speeches. But on the other hand, they also think she can win. And so many of the people I've spoken to think that he can't.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that the Republicans, have never, been in a position where they have had to aim their fire at Senator Sanders. And I, having been through two very tough races myself personally in 2002 and then 2006, as you remember, my nickname, Landslide Joe, and I won by 83 votes. I've walked through the circle of fire in terms of, having the national committees doing the 30-second negative TV spots. And I think that, Senator Sanders has had an incredibly successful run in Vermont, but let's face it, that's never been a battleground state in terms of, the National Republican Party. And I do think that, that's a big concern for people. This election is so incredibly important in terms of just a whole litany of issues from the Supreme Court, which we've discussed in past shows,
sure.
And you know, climate change, tax policy, issues of war and peace. Failure is not an option, in my opinion, and we've got to really go with the candidate that we know is battle tested.
Let's switch from there to the Zika virus.
Yep.
Is this one that scares you?
It does. Information that we're getting from the Center for Disease Control is that prevalence of mosquitoes with this infection potential is bigger and broader than I think people realized. As if the island of Puerto Rico doesn't have enough problems, there's signs that it's showing up there, and that, just getting closer and closer, to the U.S. And it's, and we knew from Ebola that, these incidents really are beyond the ability of, America's political calendar, to control. That, we really need to listen to the folks who are the experts in the area. And I don't think they're hysterical or alarmist in terms of saying that, we've got to get ahead of this, and we need to get some emergency funding like we would for any other public health emergency like Ebola. That's a big one. I mean, frankly, there are two other issues which I think deserve emergency action, the heroin opioid
right.
crisis, and also the, the Flint, Michigan
lead,
lead contamination, which we know now is not just limited to that one city.
Is it your sense, Joe Courtney, that the Republicans, who, after all, set the agenda in the Congress, are not responding fast enough?
They're not. I mean, the the initial sort of reaction on Zika was, well, there's some leftover funds from the Ebola emergency appropriation from a couple of years ago. Use that for Zika, which, again, is a just a portion of what CDC is saying is needed out there. By the way, we ought to continue our work in terms of getting an Ebola vaccine, which, would eradicate any future Ebola outbreak, which at this point could still, loom on the horizon. And so I don't understand why, we're sort of dipping into those resources when, again, there's still work to be done on Ebola. And on heroin opioid, that's the one that just absolutely boggles my mind. I mean, we looked at CDC's stats the other day. In 2004, 7,000 Americans died from heroin and opioid overdoses. You fast forward to 2014, the number is 27,000. Well, 7,000 to 27,000. We know 2015's numbers are going to be worse. This hits rural, suburban, and urban areas of the country. The need for more resources in terms of detox beds, treatment beds. The police are telling us we cannot arrest our way out of this situation. There's clearly a law enforcement component to how to respond to this. But, again, it's just it boggles my mind that, three clear public health threats that are out there that are killing people, are just not enough to get folks to move down here.
We love talking to Joe Courtney, Democrat of Connecticut, 2nd District. And Joe, when we come back the next time, I want to talk to you about submarines.